Good morning. I want to welcome everybody. Wish all you mothers and aunts and grandmothers and others that have been like a mother to somebody a happy Mother's Day. Does anybody have any announcements this morning?
This is totally trivial. It's not really an announcement, it's a request. If anybody reads actual newspapers and you have some actual newspapers, I would like to take them from you. So if you bring them in, I will take those from you. Thank you.
So I'm not sure if this is prayer request or an announcement, but it's kind of a combination of things. Mom's loving companion passed away this past week, and his memorial service is this Thursday coming up at Neff's Union Lutheran Church. I'm getting it wrong, but the Neff's Church in Schnecksville at 11 a.m. There will be a lunch following. You're all welcome to come and offer some support.
Well, this goes as a P.S. onto that. we do have a cot available that had been purchased by the family, and if anybody could use a single cot, mattress, not the cot, the mattress, a single mattress, a very nice one and was not used very long. So if you can use it, let me know this morning.
Okay, if there's no others, for the call to worship, I will be reading these words. The Holy One knows each sheep, calling to us by name. He sees our need, feeding us with wisdom and truth. The Holy One protects and guides us, showing us the way to eternal life. Let us worship our Shepherd, who calls us home. Can we bow for prayer, please? O great Shepherd, come and walk with us in this time of worship, just as you walk with us every day. As we sing your praises and worship your holy name, speak to us with your wisdom, and call to us and lead us home. Open our minds so we can hear your word and grow in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn to your blue hymnals and let's sing hymn number 42 and let's stand, please.
Thank you.
be seated. Would you turn to the back of your hymnals to number 814? You're all going to be scripture readers this morning. We're going to read Psalm 23 in unison. I think some of us probably could recite it by heart, depending on the version that it's printed here, but very familiar psalm, probably one of the first chapters of the Bible that you might have learned, verses from the Bible that you might have learned. Let's read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our offering plate is located in the back of the sanctuary for anybody who has any offering that they'd like to put in. And if you're at home, you can mail it into the church's address. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your tender care. Everything we have comes from the goodness of your love. Receive the gifts we give to you now so that others may come to know you and discover that you are the one who laid down your life for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue with hymn number 490 in your blue hymnal, Lord of the Home. And let's stand, please. Our second scripture for this morning is from Acts 9, 36 to 43. It's found on your pew Bible on page 778 for those who'd like to follow along. Just to give you a little lead into this, Peter healed Aeneas, a man who had been bedridden for 8 years. Just before this, and that was at Lydda. So that might explain why they mention Peter was in Lydda in this passage. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known through all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner.
Good morning. And good morning, friends and family, both here and at home. We love you, and it's great to have you here with us and to be back with you again today. To all moms out there, and to all of those with a mother's heart, no matter who you are, happy Mother's Day. So, as you may know, we usually preach from the lectionary here. And each week, the lectionary offers maybe like around four passages to choose from. And usually, there's an obvious theme running through the passages, one that stands out. But not this week. In fact, the passages to me seemed unrelated. It was Acts 9, Revelation 7, Psalm 23, and John 10. I mean, what do sheep, shepherds, and resurrection have in common? Well, stay tuned. I just couldn't see the connection until I did. And when I did, I couldn't unsee it. It was so obvious that I didn't know how I had missed it before. So Acts 9 tells the story of Tabitha, a disciple who died and was brought back to life by Peter. Psalm 23 is about resting in and being confident and savoring God's love for us. Revelation 7 is about God as a lamb in the new kingdom. And John 10 is about being attuned to God's leading and being protected in God's triune power. All these passages contain an outrageous amount of good news. I mean, great news, really. But to buy into and reap the benefits of this great news, we have to be willing to believe the unbelievable and to be led. And being led means getting up, rising up, and following the right shepherd. Yet, it's not likely that we'll rise up if we don't believe that what God tells us is true. We could be cynical and doubtful, and in that state of mind, these passages wouldn't mean much to us. They would seem like silly fictional stories. I mean, come on, rising from the dead. If we didn't believe, we would know these stories weren't true. And if we don't believe, there's no way we're going to rise up. In fact, the probability is that we will fall down. But if we do believe, and I know we do, we should be bouncing off the walls in here with joy and wonder and thanks. I mean, I'm not sure we get the full extent of this good news, this great news. A lot of Christians have some nebulous, kind of far-off idea about what the good news really means. A lot of Christians might need a little better inside. They might feel a little better inside when they pray, and they're happy to be part of a Christian community if they even are. They might think about personal salvation and heaven after they die. But as witnesses, sometimes that kind of nebulous faith gets difficult to pass on, to explain to others. Sometimes we might not feel like we have a lot of evidence for our faith. After all, our lives are still hard. We're anything but perfect. And the world is still dangerous and unhealthy. But let's remember our Christian roots, where our faith came from. First, Scripture tells us that we have a God who pursued us and stayed with us and never gave up on us. Then Jesus came and healed and exercised and raised up people. He died and killed death by resurrecting. Then resurrected Jesus, our ever-present shepherd, passed God's holy breath to his disciples, his sheep, to carry on his work. And then the cycle continued. Jesus' disciples rose up in a big way. They pursued the Gentiles and the Jews and everyone in between. They stayed with them, like they moved into their towns and cities to spread the great news and take care of and love and pray for these people. And they never gave up. They healed and exercised, and yes, they raised up people. And they died knowing that they were going to paradise with Jesus and that they will be resurrected. So about Tabitha, when I knew I was going to preach about Tabitha, I wondered what her name meant. And I was hoping for something profound, like one who comes back from the dead. But alas, her name means gazelle. And this is what I learned about gazelles. They can run up to 60 miles per hour, in short bursts, and sustain speeds of 30 to 40 miles per hour. And when running, gazelles use a bounding leap called pronking or stotting, which involves stiffly springing into the air with all 4 feet. You can imagine it, right? Boing, 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 like that. So as it turns out, Tabitha lived into her namesake pretty well. She died. Peter came and prayed for her, and then he said to her body, "Tabitha, rise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, boing, boing, boing. That's some major pronking and stotting. I really wish I had named my sermon title that. Talk about rising up to the occasion. This whole story is extraordinary. I mean, first of all, this wonderful, beloved woman died, and her friends, all Jesus believers, washed her body and laid it down. She was dead, like full on dead, like ready for a funeral, dead. And her friends were devastated, beside themselves. They were desperate. Let's think about this, though. When someone dies in our community and we're devastated, beside ourselves, and desperate, is our first instinct to try and raise them from the dead? Has it ever been? If I had to guess, I'd say probably no. When someone dies, we mourn, we plan, we gather, and we let go. And if someone was suffering in their body prior to death, we often feel that death is merciful. Not all deaths are tragedies, right? Some are blessings. When my mom died, many months had passed before I realized that I could have prayed and commanded her to rise up. Yet I didn't. In the moment, it never even occurred to me. And even if it did, I'm not sure I would have acted on that. I don't think I had enough faith to believe that even if she were resurrected,
that she would be completely healed and happy upon resurrecting. She had suffered for so long. But for Tabitha's community, her death wasn't a blessing. It was unacceptable. And their instinct as disciples was to call someone who knew Jesus really well, who was with resurrected Jesus on Pentecost, and who received the Holy Spirit. Someone who was commissioned to travel around the world to heal and to save. Tabitha's friends rose up in faith by calling Peter. As Christians, how many of us have had the courage to try to resurrect someone? Or to completely heal someone? Don't we more often pray prayers of resignation, of asking for acceptance and peace in what is? The shepherds of the world tell us that death is final and that some sicknesses can't be cured. But what does our shepherd say? I found 198 instances of the word sheep in the Bible. Some were about actual sheep, but most often the word was metaphorical, referring to God's people who were either gathered, scattered, with bad shepherds or no shepherd at all, separated, eaten by lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Not really bears, but led astray, brought to high mountains, starved, slaughtered, sacrificed, forgotten, fenced, but wait, it gets better, fed, found, and freed. Let's just say that by the time Jesus comes along and we get toward the end of the Bible, things are looking a lot better for the sheep than they did at the beginning of the story. Meanwhile, I also looked up shepherd and found 111 instances of that word in the Bible. And the results were similar. We've got shepherds and shepherdesses who were either absent or bad, resulting in all the mistreatment or death of the sheep previously mentioned. Indeed, read Ezekiel 34 and find out what God thought of the world's shepherds at that time. God needed one good shepherd to save the sheep, and that was Jesus. The thing that became clear was that there were a lot of shepherds out there that sheep mistakenly followed. Those worldly shepherds are still around today. We can name them in our own lives. But there's only one shepherd who is the overseer of our souls. And that's Jesus. So in our daily lives, we need to take care to drown out the voices of the lesser shepherds, because there's a good chance they'll lead us astray. And that said, we are also shepherds on behalf of Jesus. Before Jesus died, he asked Peter numerous times to feed my sheep. This is what Peter was doing when he raised Tabitha. As God's imagers and Jesus' representatives here on earth, we are both sheep and shepherds, fathers and mothers, the face of Jesus to all those around us. As Jesus' sheep and shepherds, we have to have the courage and boldness to rise up, to heal and witness, teach and testify, and yes, maybe even resurrect. Jesus told the Jews, "You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Peter believed. Peter was one of Jesus' sheep. He heard Jesus' voice. Jesus knew Peter. And Peter followed Jesus. And this is how Peter's relationship with Jesus played out. Peter gets a desperate call from Tabitha's friends. He rises up and goes to Tabitha. He clears the room. He prays. And he commands her to rise up. And she does. What's the result? Well, I'm sure her community was happy. And Tabitha can go on serving the poor as she did before. But in the bigger picture, Tabitha's story became known throughout all of Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Her rising up made people believe. Of course it would, right? Yet if someone called us to heal or raise their loved one, would we rise up in the same way? Would they even call us? Shouldn't they call us as Christians? Aren't we the miracle people? In modern times, a quarter of the people who describe themselves as Christians, in Great Britain at least, don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Can we blame them, though? It's crazy, right? The idea of dying and coming back to life. And what about all the other crazy stuff in Jesus' ministry? The idea of demons, like nasty spirits with a small s, from the divine realm going into creation and messing everything up. The idea of people being completely healed from incurable diseases. We believe that all this stuff, like really believe it. We have to know that pretty much the rest of the world thinks we're nuts. Do we care? Who is our shepherd? I get it, though. It's a hard thing to grasp that roughly 2,000 years ago, in a period of 33 years, God became one of us here on earth to teach us how to be human, to conquer death, and seed the kingdom that God always intended to grow. It's a hard thing to grasp, this dying and coming back to life. Yet the story of Tabitha was never meant to be fiction. It's a true story. It's not one of the metaphors in the Bible. And remember that Tabitha wasn't the only person in the Bible brought back to life. Elijah the prophet raised the widow of Zarephath's son from the dead. The prophet Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. When a dead man's body was thrown into Elisha's grave and the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus of Bethany. When Jesus died, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Those open tombs remained open until the third day, and at that time, the bodies of many holy people were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Paul raised Eutychus. And the biggie, Jesus himself was resurrected. Plus, just because the Bible doesn't mention others doesn't mean there weren't others. John 21:25 tells us there are many other things that Jesus did. If all of it were written down, the world could not hold all the books it would take. And Jesus' miracles didn't stop in early Christian time. They're still going on today. Dr. Craig Keener, who is a highly accomplished New Testament scholar, has been lauded by theologians for his two-book compendium of biblical and modern-day miracles. Among thousands of other miracles, these books recount over 616 medically verified resurrections from the dead. These stories help us believe that miracles are true. They've helped me believe that miracles are true. These accounts, along with Tabitha's rising, can't be explained by the shepherds of the world. They'll probably tell you there must be some other good, logical reason. It can't be God, right? These miracle accounts remind us that we can rise up and put down our logical explanations, our stubbornness, our disbelief, our fear of looking foolish, our pride, everything we thought we knew about the natural world. We can rise up and be willing to enter God's supernatural and mysterious, amazing, divine realm. Because this is what it means to believe, to be one of Jesus' sheep, to hear the voice of our shepherd. And right now, through scripture, but also through rising up, we can get better and clearer glimpses of God's supernatural world that Jesus showed us. A world where people are healed and the dead come back to life. Where we hunger no more and we thirst no more. Where the sun won't strike us with scorching heat. Where the Lamb at the center of the throne is our shepherd, who guides us to the springs of the water of life. Where God wipes away every tear from our eye. Where we have eternal life and we never perish. We don't die. Where no one can snatch us out of God's hand. Where the Lord is our shepherd and we don't want or need anything because all of our needs are met. Where God lets us relax in beautiful green pastures. Where God the shepherd leads us beside still waters and restores our souls. Where God comforts us and prepares a table and a feast for us. Where God anoints us and our cup just overflows. Where God's goodness and mercy follow us everywhere, all the time. Where, as God's sheep, we get to live in the house of the Lord forever. So now we know what sheep, shepherds, and resurrection have in common. Amen. Let us rise up and sing, "Help Us Help Each Other," in your hymnals, number 362. Rise up. God, help us to be good sheep, to hear and heed your voice and be willing to be led by you, to believe, to rise up. Likewise, thank you in advance for hearing our prayers and protecting us, healing us, and blessing us. God, we pray that our enemies may become friends, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted, that those who are mourning, depressed, confused, and anxious have peace of mind, that wars stop and weapons be dropped in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, that we be called upon as your faithful flock, that all of creation be restored, that the leaders of the world be led by love, that workers find satisfaction and fulfillment, that this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected, and enveloped in your love, that next Sunday your Holy Spirit will speak through Mark Bolton, who will rise up and tell the great news about hearing your voice. God, we love you, and we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our blessing and sending. Our benediction today is from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who brought Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, back from the dead by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing to rise up and do God's will. Let's sing Heart with Loving Heart, verses 1 and 3 from your hymnal number 420.